In Ephesians, chapter 1, Ephesians, chapter 1, Ephesians, chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And the word of God says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. God bless you. Thank you for your kindness. You may be seated. Grass withers, flowers thereof fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We solicit your prayers, please. Want to talk to you for a little while from the subject, God chose you to be born again. God chose you to be born again. To begin with, my brethren and my sisters, Christian friends, well-wishers and saints of God, as we gleam and gaze with glimpses at this godly text, we find some glorious acts of grace that funnels our faith into a fabulous, fruitful future. Verse 3 says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I'd like to get started by saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to see if I can get some more people to say that with me. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. I just want to thank God for allowing me to be a part of the community of Christians. How many people want to say thank you, Lord? If you don't mind, just give God a praise right now for how good he's been to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I might just can't go no further than that. Just thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to me. I want us to be able to say thank you, Lord, and really mean it. I mean, really, really, really.
That's
really
correct.
Really mean it.
Yeah.
You know what? I know I'm standing by myself now, but I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Just everybody all over the church, just stand with me just one moment, and just for a moment begin to say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And just to hold up your hand, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Bless the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Won't you give him a big old hand of praise? Thank you. No, no, no. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Sit down if you can, if you can. Sit down if you can. Jesus had some hardcore facts about being belonged or being a part of or being in connection with the community of Christians. First thing he said, in order to be belong to that, he said, you must be born again. Y'all all right in here? I want to talk to you just the necessity of being born again. The necessity of regeneration. Those of y'all who like to write things down in the Episcopal point 1, point 2, point 3 thing. The necessity of regeneration. But I got to back it up with some scripture. Scripture teach us. If you will, go to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I want to talk to you about a few little things where Jesus requires us to be regenerated, to be born again. The necessity of regeneration. Because Jesus teaches in John 3 that the Reverend Dr. Nicodemus learned the necessity of regeneration. The story goes that Reverend Dr. Nicodemus was a well-respected Jewish leader. In fact, he was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. This 70-member council was in charge of all religious matters in Jerusalem and surrounding regions. Y'all with me here? They were over the churches, over the synagogues, or over what we call in the Greek vernacular the ecclesia, which is God's church. Come on, say amen if you can. So the story goes that after hearing, after seeing and witnessing Jesus's power, Jesus's teaching ability, seeing Jesus as a didaskalos, meaning a master teacher, after seeing Jesus as the anointed one, after seeing Jesus as the exousia, meaning seeing Jesus with all of his authority, after seeing Jesus perform miracle after miracle with his miracle working, but I wish I had some help in here, after witnessing Jesus's dunamis, his dynamite power, after witnessing Jesus having power over demons and over darkness and over the ruler of this world, after seeing Jesus' compassion for healing people from their hurts, and after seeing Jesus' agape love, after all of that, Nicodemus decides to go to Jesus by night. That's still in your Bible, right? Stay right there with me. Reverend Dr. Nicodemus says, I got to talk to Jesus, and I don't want nobody else to know it. So I go to him by night. You know, you got to be careful with folk that come to you by night. Come on, say amen, y'all. Because Jesus had something to say about it. He said, if you shame the homie in front of men, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father, which is, am I preaching in here? So, Reverend Dr. Nicodemus talks with Jesus. He comes in with his sugar-coated rhetoric. He comes in pouring it on thick. He comes on in trying to butter Jesus up and gravy him down, saying, oh, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do the miracles that thou do. In other words, Jesus, I know you can't lose with the stuff you use. But Jesus cuts through. through the sugar-coated rhetoric in John 3:3 and says to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born," I wish I had some help up in here, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Brothers and sisters, you have to make a change to be regenerated. Am I preaching in here? You have to make a change. You have to be made over. The great Reverend Dr. Nicodemus begins a discourse with Jesus. And he says in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." Verse 7, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Can I bring it home? When Jesus said that you ought not marvel that you must be born again, he is saying, in essence, it's just like when the wind blows, it go where it want to go. And that's the same way the spirit works. Tell your neighbor that's the way the spirit works. But can I add some specificity to it? Being born again is a process. Everybody say it's a process. Here's the process. Please write this down. Before you can be born again, you have to repent. Repent. Repentance is a change of mind, where the Holy Spirit convicts my mind to make a change. And then after I make a change, then there's regeneration number two. Are y'all with me here? Regeneration is a change of heart. You remember when he told him, "Except the man be born again, you cannot see the king." You got to be made over. Come on, help me somebody. After regeneration, then number three, there's conversion. Everybody say conversion. Conversion is a change of life. This is where it's a secret act whereby God saves us from ourselves. But then that's not all. After conversion, number four, there is justification. Everybody say justification. Justification is when Jesus makes us, God makes us the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me here? Because nobody wouldn't have made it on your own. You justified through Jesus Christ. And then number five, adoption. Adoption is a change of family. Now you belong to the community of Christians. And when you belong to God, when you are God's child, the devil in hell can't do you no harm. Am I preaching in here? But not only that, number six is sanctification. Sanctification is a change in behavior. Sanctification takes place when you change, listen, Rowena, your lifestyle. Come on, help me somebody. You learn how to live a holy life because you heard Christians say, "The things I used to do, I just don't do them no more. The places I used to go." Some of y'all must be still going there. Y'all just looking at me. "Places I used to go, I don't go no more. Not because I can't, but not because I don't want them no more." Are y'all with me here? But then finally, number seven is glorification. Everybody say glorification. Glorification is a change in place. It's where I swap out my old cross for my brand new crown of righteousness. It's where I swap out my old robe for a brand new robe. It's where I swap out my old shoes for a brand new pair of golden slippers. Because you got shoes and I got shoes. All of God's children got shoes in here. When I get to heaven, it's going to be a glorious day. What you say, I'm going to put them on, and I'm going to shout all over glory land. And then not only that, but I'm going to shout all over glory land every day, forever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Eternal, Zoe, never-ending, everlasting life, glorification. Brothers and sisters, Christian friends, well-wishers, and saints of God. That's how far the Spirit will take you when you're born again. Now, I just gave you a seven-step plan how it really goes. When you're born again, you go to glory land and you know how you got there. Come on, help me somebody. Nothing but the grace of God. How am I doing, y'all? Ephesians 1 and 4. The Bible says he just chose us in him. Just as he chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Listen to the words of the text again from the New Living Translation. Verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That word is good, isn't it? Yeah. Listen to the title. God chose us to be born again. I'm just so glad that God didn't leave me wallowing in my sin. That I was on my way to hell with no weapon in my hand and no God on my side. Y'all, I don't know if I'm talking about myself up there. Maybe all y'all been sanctimonious and holy all your life. But you know, I know he took me and brought me from a mighty long ways. I ain't talking about what he recently did. I'm talking about he just done brought me. Come on, help me somebody. Have he ever done anything for you like that? I mean, what was the time when you know if it had not been the Lord looking at you and looking past your faults? Lord help us. Listen to verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and he gave, and it gave him great pleasure. It gave God great pleasure to choose us. Get this now, before the foundations of the world. That let me know that before God laid out his masterful blueprint for the world, he had me in mind. Tell your neighbor he had me in mind too. Because what God did for one, he did for the whole world. And when he made the blueprint step, he broke them all. So it ain't no more me. Ain't but one me. Ain't no more you. It's just you. Come on, say amen. I know we try to call our cheering men and me and all that, but they're their own person. You don't have a witness here? When God made one, I don't care if they're identical twins. One different from the other. Do I have a witness here? How do you know that God did all that before the foundations of the world? Listen, kids, it is how. Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting. How am I doing up in here, y'all? God chose us to be born again in God's family. In God's, I ain't talking about nobody else, but in God's family, I'm saved. In God's family, I'm sanctified. In God's family, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. In God's family, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He dipped my black soul down in his red blood and washed all of my sins white. Y'all ain't helping me up in here. In God's family, verse 5, from the Living Bible, God, his unchanging plan, has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. He wanted to. The second thing I want to share with us is that God chose a child to be born again. So nobody ought not miss heaven.
God chose a child to be born. Please write that down. God chose, and turn to Mark 22, Mark 5 and 22. God chose a child to be born again. So before we go to saying that boy ain't going to be nothing, that girl ain't going to be, you don't know what God going to make them into. Don't give up on them now. Now is the time to embrace them more and more. I'm so glad somebody kept praying for me. I was a sorry sight. And I've learned that God is so intelligent. Don't miss this. God is so intelligent. Until nobody who's supposed to go to heaven will miss the journey. Did y'all get that? Y'all ought to write that down and keep it in your mind. Nobody who's supposed to go is going to miss the journey. If you're supposed to make it, you're going. He'll change you. Won't he change you? He'll rearrange you. Or he'll change your mind about something. Ask Paul when he was on the Damascus Road. He'll change what you're thinking. Mark 5 and 22. Give my apologetic defense. The Bible tells us in verse 22 from the International Version. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. Verse 23. And pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Verse 24. So Jesus went with him, the Bible says. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. This is interesting because right after Jesus heals the woman with the issue of blood who snuck in and snatched her blessing. Y'all remember that sermon? She snuck in and snatched her. After he healed the woman with the issue of blood, verse 35 and 36 said that while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus saying to one of the synagogue rulers, "So your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Verse 36 is where it really happened for me. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Before I go on and get deeper in point two, some of the things them people telling you that you ought to just dismiss that out your mind. You ought to cast it in file 13. Put it in the trash can and they'll never look at it. You can't tell me what I'm going to be and can't be. Come on, say amen, somebody. He told her, "I ain't listening at what they saying. I can't listen at the report of the doctor. I got to believe what the Lord has said." Am I talking to somebody up there? Because you can listen at what people say and you'll never get up and get out and do what God wants you to be. He said, "Don't be afraid, just believe. Have faith." Belief. Belief in the Greek vernacular is the word pistos. Everybody say pistos. That means just to believe that God is able. And you ain't got to nothing go past nothing but he's able. Him able. He able to do anything. What he able to do? He able to pick you up. He able to turn you around, put your feet on. What he able to? He able to heal you. He able to bless you. He able to prosper you. He able to do everything that you need done. Can I paint a scenario? God chose a child to be born again. I got three things I want to say with that right quick. Number one, if everything was all right with her soul, Jesus could have let her go on to heaven. You ever thought about that? Number two, even if everything was all right with her soul, Jesus, her daddy, Reverend Dr. Jairus of the Sanhedrin Council, is asking Jesus for a miracle, and he's doing it publicly. Oh, you see where I'm going with this here? He asked Jesus out in the open. Didn't have to come by night. Y'all didn't get that right. I believe y'all, that just went right on over. He came and asked him publicly in front of everybody. And for a Jewish leader like that, with his fine robes on, Reverend Doctor to come before Jesus and humble himself and fall down at Jesus' feet and say, please come see by my daughter, when everybody had said that Jesus was an outcast. Are you seeing what I'm talking about now? Man, that's a big deal. Number three, in 2015, oh Julia, you're going to be with me with this here. There is an apparent alive who wouldn't pray to God to save their child from the pit of hell and the pit of death. Am I talking to somebody in here? That's why I think we ought to really have a conscious effort about our children. Listen, Kevin, Black Lives Matter. Come on, say amen, somebody up in here. Just because the news reporters and the media staff have gone away, our life still matters. Ain't nobody else saying it, I'm saying it. Black lives matter. I still worry when my son leaves the house because police might kill him. Come on, say amen, y'all. He ain't got nothing but a bubble gum and 50 cents in his pocket. Come on, say amen, y'all. Black lives matter. So God chose a child to be born again. Let me finish the story. So when Jesus gets to Reverend Dr. Jairus' house, the house is filled, get this now, with family, with friends, with relatives, and with professional mourners. In the Bible days, there were professional mourners who would come by your house and help you grieve when you lost one of your loved ones. How am I doing in here, y'all? But look at Jesus. Now, he didn't get all that. He took with him his same three boys, Peter, James, and John. Y'all ain't saying amen right now. He took Peter, James, and John with him and left the rest of them. You can't take everybody on the journey with you. Come on, say amen. Everybody can't go. Look at the word of God. Verse 5 and 39 from the New International Version. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. I like this next part. It just tickles my soul. Verse 40. It said, and they laughed him to scorn. They laughing at Jesus. But when he had put them all out, y'all don't go past that. But when he had put them all out, he take the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. See, when you got a major problem, you don't want no half-hearted Christians. You want somebody that believe wholehearted with you. I believe this thing gonna happen. I got faith in God. I don't want none of the rest of y'all naysayers with me. Get out! You came to my house to see me, you better have been talking faith. Come on, say amen, somebody. I don't want nobody coming telling me, Rev, I don't think you're going to make it. Mike used to call me every day, Rev, you're going to make it. Rev, you can take it. You can do it, Rev. Run and call, you can make it, Rev. Really come by to see me. How you doing, boss man? You all right? You can make it, boss man. Come on, say amen, somebody up in here. Don't come to my house talking about I can't make it. He put him out. He had to put him out. Judge, if he wouldn't have put him out, the miracle wouldn't have happened. Bible says in verse 42, and straightway, verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted as damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Three things I see in the text. Everybody say three things. Three things after Jesus put everybody out. In verse 41, Jesus took her by hand. Meaning, it's personal. Jesus is saying, in essence, I chose you to save you. I put my hands on you. It's personal to me. In other words, I'm important. If ain't nobody else was in this world, I believe Jesus would have died on Calvary just to come back and save me. To tell your neighbor, me too. I'm important too. Me too. He would have come back for me too. Me too. Y'all ain't shouting it yet. Number two, in the B clause of verse 41, it's personal again. Jesus says to the little girl, I say unto thee, arise. In other words, I chose you to be born again. I chose you to wake up from your sleep of death. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah up in here, because in 2015, the Lord is waking somebody up right now to be born again. The Lord is putting his hand upon somebody and say, it's time out for you being mediocre. You need to rise up and be great, what God has called you to be. Time out for thinking nothing, doing nothing, going nowhere. Third thing, see in the text, in verse 42, the girl rose up and walked, and everybody was astonished. The songwriter says, if Jesus had to reach way down, he'll pick me. I don't care what about nobody else, but he had to reach way down on me. He had to go a long ways down, all the way to Hollywood, California. Pull me up. Come on, help me somebody. You got your own experience. I'm just telling mine. Because you know, I told you last week, you can't tell it like I can tell it, what the Lord has done for me. You got your own story. But he told her, I'll pick you up. I brought you out to sleep of death. Now I got where everybody can see how good I've been. And the Bible said they were all astonished. Astonished. Everybody say astonished. Astonished in the Greek vernacular is the word estimi, which means you're out of your mind in wonderment. You're amazed besides yourself. This is something that has you insanely bewitched, because you ain't never saw it like this. Come on, help me somebody. The girl dead. You know she dead. You've been in the house for hours. Her body done turned ice cold. Jesus come and says, she ain't dead, she sleep. You start laughing, he put you out. He go in there with the mama and daddy and Peter, James, and John and tell the girl, arise. The girl get warm and start walking. I'd be surprised too. Come on now, y'all. I could be Peter and James and John, and I'd be excited. Astonished, exists to me. I am excited about it all. And you know, that's the other part that I don't want you to miss in this story. I told you last week and the week before that when you do not believe or obey the pastor, preacher, teacher, leader, or the pastor, you are directly disbelieving or disobeying God himself. This case is worse, because this case, they're actually outright disbelieving God himself. Come on, say amen if you can. Because Jesus is God. Y'all believe that? See, I taught you many times ago that he's the monogamous God, meaning he's 100% God and 100% man at the same time, and bringing the human and divine together, and then being an intercessor on your behalf for you and I, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Priest boy up in here. How am I doing, y'all? The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. The Bible proves itself. And if you study enough, the Bible will be confirmation to itself. You ain't got to argue with nobody over the Bible. Just need to know it, so when they come to you, you know what to say. Because believe it or not, God is the self-existing one. Everybody say self-existing one. That means he's Jehovah Adonai. Man, I taught y'all that up in Bible study. He's Jehovah Adonai, the self-existing one. You know what that means? That means God is God all by himself, and he don't need your help to be God because he's God all by himself. God alone. He don't need my help to be God. You know why I'm saying? Because if I was God, put your name there. If I was God, I'd make some changes effectively, immediately. Come on now, put your name there. Go to the mayor one time and say, if I was God, I wouldn't have another bill in this life. Y'all ain't saying amen. Come on, say amen, y'all. Y'all ever watch that movie, Bruce Almighty?
Yeah.
When Bruce Almighty had God power, and God had to come back to him almost a week later and say, Bruce, now, since I gave you my power, you ain't did nothing with it. All you did was something for yourself. That's why I know I can't be God. I can't be God. I got too many problems. I helped somebody else. Yeah. But there'll never be nothing wrong with Reverend Allen again. For eternity. Amen. Come on, say amen, y'all. Yeah. God sometimes touch you, though.
Yes.
Humble you. Make you come down so he can use you and exalt you. Right. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And let you know you ain't all that.
Yeah.
I'm God. You ain't God. Yeah. I'm Jehovah Adonai. I'm the self-existing one. You ain't nothing but a seed that I put here.
Yeah.
That's all. And you're gone.
Yeah.
I wish I had some help up in
here. Yeah.
Ephesians 1 and 5. The Bible says, having predestined us unto adoption of the children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It gave God good pleasure to bless us before the foundations of the world. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad that he thought about me before the world began to save my soul. Why don't you give him a hand of praise? Last thing. God has accepted us to be born again through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That's in your Bible, right?
Yeah.
Wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. From the New Living Translation, it says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. God has accepted us through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I keep thinking to myself that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
Who wants to suffer that kind of death for no good, rotten, low down, dead? Y'all ain't said nothing right. I'm just talking about my own self.
Thank you, Jesus.
You ever thought about you? You ever thought about how you really do? How you really act? What you really think? And God died knowing all that before the Father, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
That'll make you say thank you, Jesus. That'll make you change your perspective on pointing your fingers at somebody. Talking about what you ain't. And you'll realize you got three more pointing back at you and one pointing to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Because Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Listen, Rowena, we cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. It's only his grace that makes us accepted in Christ. And not only that, but if you don't remember nothing else, remember that this is our personal eternal position. It's our personal eternal position. And once you save, that can never change. Isn't that good news? Because you could do something wrong tomorrow, and if it was man who was judging you, you wouldn't make it. But God look past your faults and see about your needs. Do I have any help up in here? It's by his grace, his unmerited favor, that you were saved. Those of us who were made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves. It's not of your own doing. It didn't come with your own striving, but it is a gift of God. Well, I gotta close in here, but I wanna let you know one thing. I'm so glad that God shows us to be born again. The Lord showed me to be born again. The Lord chose you to be born again. The Lord chose us to be born again. And before I close, I just want to say thank you, Lord. You've been good to me. Is there anybody in the house that know you've been good? You've been good to me, Lord. You saved my soul and made me whole. You picked me up and turned me around. Put my feet on solid ground. Ain't it all right? I wish I had a witness in here. Stand up on your feet and grab your neighbor by the hand and said, he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Because he woke me up this morning. He's all right. Because he started me on my way. Ain't he all right? Do you know he all right? Let me hear you say yeah.
Can I show y'all I'm doing better now? He's been good to me. Yeah.